I'm Serena.
Allison.
Daniel.
Fiona.
Kate.
Lee.
Oliver.
And this is Radio 11.
Radio 11.
Radio 11.
Radio 11. This is Apple Q.
Oh dear. And dear, less and less. The truth is still light enough to know at origin the difference, you only see. It was a common ground. Common in the sense that it was sensed, and not so much for its enjoyment, but more so for the slight perturbary, but then again, enough of that, as halls and mirrors of incidents bring it back to a full stop, and stop it again. And so. Where is middle ground, or the high road, likely where the path less traveled, as frosty as that goes, from the ant, up to the Arctic, a global globular. He stamped his feet, quietly and figuratively. These voices. Know them, do you? Do they come about? Only at night, when the lights are out. Well, the bodies. And the voices during the day. But I'm not victimized by it any longer. And while the awareness of it is a continuation, the also continuity of time and life, as in serial, is a bready breadth of gesturally spasmodic ooze which decouples the them from even and oddly themselves, for as they turn their backs, they turn into themselves. Which is why they keep getting out. He banged on the table. You talk like that now, do you? The now of you, that is? And you make me talk that way too, the professor riled a simple version of his wrylier grin. Q chose a professor as his psychiatrist, because of the faux placement of embedded woody bookshelves, as yet to be, and now discoverable. You can put them away, if you'd like. Oh. What? The bookshelves. You're blocking up your mind, stop it. Oh, I see. Good advice. Non-matter energy into nothing, how do we do that again, now? The world turns, 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 don't worry about it so often. The two sat. Very much as if he were wearing a long coat, and the other twiddling on some things from his pocket, something spinny and thought-provoking. So what don't you want to talk about at this time today? We've got a whole dictionary you didn't think about last time you were not here, again. Oh, it's that time again. To fold a space-time object around a matrices of more foldery bits, as in the paper fortune teller? Did that ever work for you? It always works. Now what answer did you expect? Well. The last one that came up, I suppose. I mean. Is that a trick question? Of course it isn't, it's only a trick if it fools you. And that was a horrible errand. Hum. So what do you do when I'm not in the room, Professor? Live stream trees in forests just to prove your point again, eh? The Amazon. Yes. Too wet to fall. I saw your notes. The selfless ones. Oh. The letters. Yes. They're a bit too organized to be immediately as immediacy requires, I feel. I mean, we should have heard by now. It's like people are expecting somebody else to do it. BTW the time the room gets through a bubble sort tree of the what do you do, and what do you do reintroductions. The day is up and we're all cross at each other for not having gotten any work done, or spent any meaningful amount of cash drop dobble gobble wobber for a return, herm. Herm. So how would you expect it to go, and do go on about free energy, as time permits, of course he grinned. Q's eyes sidled away from the suggestion, and carried forward. Well, I think everybody's just a bit too afraid to touch it. I mean. The perfect thread. I mean. Like well-suited and the like. How are we going to feel if some muckery gets stuffed into a piece of threading and it can't be bypassed, and shouldn't be removed, and really shouldn't be traversed or retraversed, by me anyway? And I guess that is my point. It's not built yet, but as it is. The neutrality would sidestep all that nonsense, and the versioning would place the we in our zones to be the US we desire for the now which is our future, and the like. See? Absolutely. Yes, absolutely, as in the positivity, yes. So from either or and about, the language, as versed, and well, in fact, has such a lyric to it, that it's enjoyable from any angular or such direction, or I say velocity, as a pair of variables, but, well, the sets of the pairs. And, yes, I'd love to think those bits will be discoverable in all the instances where such is required, to bring about, their, own, fully expected and absolutely essential liquidity of freedom and choice as hash-free energy, and yes, even people say hashtag out loud now, it's quite ingenious, but of course that's verbal and it throws people in a loop. He went on. The library. We've got to have a big steel building around, a cool-looking one, to stick right into Washington, completely empty, or empty enough, or perhaps draw it on, with a map. Though I think it needs physicality. Maybe a tiny miniature one, at street trolleys, for sale to tourists. This is the US blockchain library. He swung his arms around, stopped and looked, and settled down. Well, I guess it should be physical. At least a special access in libraries, or some at. He trailed off. The physicality stuck with him for a moment, and as recently he wanted things both big and small, and static, and portable, and infinite, and, this, distributed, and now and later and forever, and not before, but just, and now. And again. And that was his mode of thinking, and it had to be that, to describe exactly what time was, and he didn't want to muck it up, and so there was always this push-pull, at least in those moments of momentary lapse, but unlike the song, not so numbly comfortable, in that order. He looked back at the professor, who was now looking out a window, and quite obviously thinking to himself, as to how Q was thinking to himself. It was a good pairing for a 50-minute session, or 88 lines of code, or per calculation. He wondered what the professor did when Q would leave, or when the code was up. Make coffee? The professor said out loud. In answer to your silence hum of a breath, I just heard you complete an internal thought involving me, for you breathed in my direction. It's a thermos, but pouring it into a smaller cup gives me satisfaction. Oh. More satisfying than this? I mean. The silent thinking and the white lilies you've got growing in your garden, out the window? Is that your private garden? I didn't see it from the outside. Nobody can get into it. It's wild. Only the bird and the bees seem to reach it. They do a good job, I think. So I leave them to it. He looked over unconvincingly towards his desk, where a vase with a set of white lilies rest peacefully, fresh cut and in water. I see. Q turned. Young bird, is she? Her own private entrance then? Or exit? Well, it's not my. It's business, not to burst your love bubble. But the honey is nice too. Q didn't pry, but always felt these personal conversations withered, as he failed to keep up with the affairs of others. Whether that was not a matter to him, or a matter to discuss, just hung gently in the air, and the professor was good at keeping an air about him. It was 3 o'clock, at least the wall clock spoke up, not in a vacuum, that one, eh? The joke fizzle. Must be that time of the session. Delete 12 lines of code, reroute double entry to a pair of numbers you'll find on your card. On the way out, follow the spiral staircase towards and about the skylight until you see the blue stained glass, then sit a while and work on your portrait some more. It's been lovely. Q picked up his gray coat from the chair, and smiled a closed-lip smile as his eyes balled over the knob on the door, for a quick twistery, and out and about, as per his objective. When he reached the bell tower, he took stock a bit, and, those cords there are for 5 p.m., and the others for 7, and so forth, down and around to perhaps a pipe organ, through the halls and walls, but for now. Quantum ticked as PV noticement of itself put tiny droplets of OAE matter effects hung slightly in air, and to the unknown again, to stretch to connect a familiar bit, for to wit was not yet to be known, and so, he eyed a bit of copper running around the tower wall. Or maybe a phone call.
And it's with that, we take our slight pause into the stopgap despacings of a switch up who's top bottle for the mind stamp lookout. Here we go again. That was our Orca Q, and just now he's typing me this letter to let you know about more Freddery of the Suited, and well off kind to denote your notes and ledgers for a donation of the type of grand biscuits to make our bellies shine on and like a lighthouse, boom and booming, as in the sound of a generation of fellow upstalks. From this the bedroom communities of San Francisco and down the Bayside, and so, do consider adding these pinned hat messages on the small screens in Twitterverse and Reddit, and discover some more on and about the fictional real and really fictional and likened as fashion, and the all the timeable. This is Serena from the labs of Chatteraqua Q. And that was the blockchains of love and concurrency, a bit of fictional non-fiction, dictioned for the placement towards the corner stop blotter mind bender bits for your Monday enjoyment. This is Radio 11, your Monday programming on Mutiny Radio FM, broadcast around the world, and around the station, stationary and under, as variable potter jotters set tonal frequencies of light, into matters of factoid lattices, for the spectrum return to ground. This is Characters Paged.
Characters. Paged. Dot dot. Their pagers went off, all simultaneously, and they looked down, from across the world and onto their wrists. Dot. The screens blinked a bit, the three of them paused and waited for it to clear. Aria was sitting in a coffee shop outside of Geneva. Again, she thought her pinkish golden watch chimed as selected when it was time for a time away, and this was it. Q was in the middle of bussing some papers down the street towards and away from things as usual, left coat pocket and the like. And Miranda was just up at sunrise at the Pacific Rim this time, no joke. She traveled overnight and had packed just a bit for a conference meetup for the book convention scheduled last May from the township. Aria sipped her orange juice and tapped the screen. You in there, Q? What's the dinging about? We're all about with our business, and the proceedings are proceeding with process and necess. As needed, Aria thought he might hear it, but she tapped the screen once just to highlight her notion of notioning. Miranda tapped back. Yep, he's got his paperwork about, and I believe he believes he's heading upward to the never-ending story, folks. They seem on about a traquel, as you know how he can fly time and the like, and so. Silence. Q was not normally in this much sun, from this time of day. More of a night owl, and black cars in the odd slipping in at the right moments and such. But geez. 101 pages on this one, and several copies for the crew, and still 3 hours until the next. Shoot, he dropped the papers. About time something happened, he paused and looked towards the ground, as they were slightly in between the shimmering embedded sparkly sidewalk and a bit of slick towards and in the gutter. His watch chimed and the haptics hit up Aria's beat. Tap tap. So this is what you get onto when you're not getting onto. Eh, Q? Aria quipped and sipped again at her orange juice, with now a splash of soda and a straw she keeps with her, so as to be ecological. Yes, Aria. The onto is onto the floor, and chores like this haven't made it up the staircase to the case I need to get to, spiral bound and booked up like a top shelf, for this pack of loose papers now, a bit dirty and, well, not in yourself, I can see that. Is that a pocket protector? No, it's a packet of gum. It's for the fresh. Anyway, how's your end? Aria's end was just fine and sitting, just and there, and she adjusted slightly at the thought and thought about telling him about the... Oh, surprise. Q blurted out, and bent over to pick up a quarter on the street. Damn, it's a regular one. You'd hope for a 1964 silver ore, but anyway. The story is carrying on, and it's just time not carrying it anymore. It's toppled into the streets and somebody forgot to number the pages. So it'll be up to you guys to piece it together once I get over. I'll scan it and you can run it through a quick OCR or something. Or, I can. Wait, he picked up a cup of coffee and dropped it directly downward onto the ground, and the cup hit square bottom and the coffee jumped out and bits all over the papers. He took a quick photo, shuffled them together, and straightened his back up a bit. Oh, I think I got the ordering now. We have the cover bound by main splash and the spill into the street by the spray that's come off it. We're good for ordering. Now, I'll just get on and cross splash check it from the place. Miranda too now was on the call, as she sipped her coffee. You know I would have brought you one when you arrive. I hope it wasn't a creamy one. Anyway, nice idea. I'll explain the coffee to the crew. But why didn't you try that old card trick? Pick a page, any page? And was a simultaneous chagrin from the crew. Blip. Miranda's power was out, and just shrugged and put her watch on the charger. It's the sort and sordid chronicle of chronicled forgetfulness wherein their malaise was being re-triggered. Maybe it was the planetary offset, or maybe our characters needed to be reminded of themselves once again. It had been 3 weeks since the shoot, and more so since the... Oh yes. And there was always a place to whisk her off to and never stick, and sticking was like this. Q jabbed a stick of gum into his mouth and hummed up the street. He found the iron doorway near Chinatown, though slightly uptown, where he was to deliver the papers. He then jabbed all 6 buttons on the door and waited for a buzzing. Buzzed. He walked inside at a slightly dim fluorescent entryway, and some wooden doors towards the left and right, but walked straight up center. To the elevator. Black rounded keys with embedded white lettering, and the floor he was to go to was. He glanced. The worn out one which was slightly sticky from mad tongue and his bubble gum fingers. He grinned and snapped a bubble and proceeded into the lift. When he was onto the floor, he found the small office lit up brightly with a large window showing into the hallway, and motioned to the secretary as she waved at him and got up to greet him. Black hair that had to have been done up recently, and a white starched blouse and a black chain, elegant and simple. And cufflinks. She didn't have an accent, and he didn't expect one. Global never does when they're not expecting company, and he placed the papers gently down by her table. 101, she said. And a coffee. I heard about it. She stated in a slate gray tone of chagrin and looked over the papers. Well, it's time and a half to type these up, so type there but out of order, so that'll be. She punched a calculator in her head, or as if. And it'll be alright if the coffee trick works out. And maybe we'll make it into a time travel series, you know, with the pages and all. You know what happened with Tron. They both said it, but her mouth was only motioning. Her mouth remained open and she smiled. How did she do that? She turned and her shoulders motioned him into a room directly behind, and he paused and proceeded towards it, with her behind him. He looked back a bit and motioned a question towards the brass doorknob. She nodded and they both proceeded into the room, which again was lit well, and, well, a bit of a thick wall. And, tap tap. His watch was out, shielded. The door closed and she hit a button on her watch, and the lights dimmed to a sort of reddish fluorescent and there was hum. Secondaries, her voice flatted a little. Keep your voice at this tone so that it's in line with the active RF chokes we have going around the place. The papers. And the coffee. And the gum. Good job and I hope you picked up everything we left, yes? The. Q found it impossible not to beam, and look around at the place. It only takes one word to get into this place, eh? He joked. Of course it took several months and a year and plus before that, but he was here. And here? Well. Heard anyway. He maintained and took out his pen, and pulled a paper up from the desk and began to write a few words. The woman looked on a bit begruzzled, as her face noted the word and she said nothing. Then he clicked the pen and the word lit up in a sort of iridescence, and as he moved his light across the word, the patterns moved, and continued and moved as long as the light was on them, pausing only when he took away the light, and using those last bits of light to orient themselves into. Stasis. Was the word. He explained, although he didn't need to, for her, he still felt a bit like Mr. Wizard with this thing, and as he kept his voice at a dim glimmer, and she continued to eye the ink on paper, as it had now been transfixed for several minutes and the beauty of the alignment of the. What was it again? Electroglutosilicate. He said as plainly as the red light on her cufflinks. And he blinked at her. She looked over the pen and took off her cufflinks and they did indeed match. Same guy, I can see. Incredible taste in. What was it again? Everything? Came the response. The form that follows function at its ultimate and timely and literally time and specificity of genetics in a package designed in for and with and. Well, this is where planet Earth finds a use for its silicon, and silicon finds a purpose for its ordered numbering. In truth, there were no numbers. This was pure life, on whatever surface and surfaced, and still enough to travel and. It likes light, she said and smiled to him as she played with a pen across the paper. Well, it doesn't just like light, it likes to sleep as well. The orientation is a learning experience for these silly guys and gals, on paper anyway. They spend their time solving their own problems, which in turn, when applied, solves your problem, if you know what you're doing. And I hope you do. Because we can't lose these. It's that simple. And they'll carry on and work their way out of your own problem if you have the right one which works for life, and that is why these are going places. Because we needed an ethics on chip and this is Gestalt Breakfast better than any possibility we'd imagined. You know how they were discovered? I thought you were going to say asteroid. She noticed she was becoming interestingly excited and had to dim her voice a bit more. Sort of like that. It was a smashed glass from a satellite, onto a flight carrier that had its little science experiment exposed to refracting light and electricity for 11 and a half minutes until they were crushed into dust by a jet landed onto them. Strange circumstance. The material from the jet and the glass, electrical and radio, and these little mite guys who were meant to survive in space, survived into a flattened surface of goo on the tarmac. Funny thing, it was noticed right away, because the little guys camoed themselves into a landing stripe sign the guys had never seen before. It was like a cross between a danger do not land signal, and a tangent on where they all wanted to exit. When he walked away to tell all the guys, the stuff stuck to his feet and began tapping Morse code into his boot. Good thing he passed the test, because they tapped this very word into his shoe, and so they brought them to us. The cufflinks look good on cue. Classed him up a bit. So this is Trial J on this one, and those papers up front. You can feed it to these guys if they're hungry. I've got to get on and about to the other three about it and you need to. Write these events up. I know, she picked up the pen. Well, you came at the right time, and you know we're into a crunch. What's the protocol for these guys in public? Just don't leave the paper behind. They get all cross when they lose their mates. And it confuses the out-of baristas who try to claim their outrageous tips. It seems these fellas have a bit of a wit towards the ladies and, well, anyway. Keep them happy and they'll keep you happy. Happy. We're all happy. And that's the point. Dot. Anybody using that? He pointed to the hat on the hat rack, didn't wait for a response and picked it up and headed towards the door, correcting his coat up a bit as he got out of the room. She smiled and led him back to the front and clicked her clacker at him and looked up as she sat down at the desk again and stated 101. He nodded towards the door and out. The hat, he liked. It was like Odd Job's top rounded, but without the. He looked. And replaced it to his head. Yes, without the chop chop part. He was back into his part. A bit more like himself and thinking of Arya. Well, that didn't take long. How about a light traveled air walk down where I'm headed and then afterwards? It was dark. The mist was starting to hit mid-waist level and the two had been walking for about 2 hours talking about the project, and its specifics and integrations and making sure everybody involved had gotten what they needed. And us. Hugh tapped the cufflinks, and they continued walking. It wasn't a bad day, you know. It was better than yesterday, and that kind of reminds me, you know. He pointed down to her. Those bits. Ah, yes. Perhaps if we had more time yesterday. But we're here in the now. You know. And our stop is just ahead. Do you want to take a seat? Q paused and thought for a second. The mist was certainly coming up around him and the cufflinks were a sort of see-through now, with the water vapor, and he thought to himself. Well, now is the time, he raised his arm and tapped his two fingers across both anode and diodes of the cufflinks and there was an incredible and warble just around them, like an egg. The light hitting them was fizzing around like little swimmy things, and the water vapor was just dots, completely solid and not moving a speck. Arya did look surprised, and looked at his jacket cuff and up at his grinning smile. The light from her warbled a bit too, and they just stood there for a second, watching all of everything pass through them, as they became non-entities in the separation of light from matters and facts of spatial reasoning, said Q in his dim-slated voice. And they carried forward. I see, was Arya's gentle response, and she took his hand and they continued walking forward towards a pier on the ocean. They don't as they passed some non-passerbys, who didn't look up nor at all, and their speech was not an echo in thought as it was normally, and they could justly hear them and know they were not heard. They didn't see the click, or thought it was a mirage. And now we're here. Light, aren't they? He jiggled his cufflinks at the non-weight and continued walking and smiling about it. The light powers these things, and the water is static, and so is our material, and so. And so. Arya motioned up to the stars and they both looked up. And we are light too, I can feel it. It felt as if they had no weight, and indeed felt as if they could walk forever on these 2 feet and never need a rest or a place to stop. That was right. With only light and non-matter, it didn't matter, he said to himself. And the light was just that part of the wording that helped it make sense, and the egg was, well, that was just a little joke, and in fact the forum again, and they talked about the joke. Of course we did, she joked later in the conversation, and also of course referring to the punchline. And we always will. And will they ever? And so they carried on a bit about it, and talked about the marriage of these technologies and of course what they were really good for, which again by design was the design of life, and life itself was. Well. They both nodded on in times like this when even things became a bit heady and they had done their jobs to get this here and that there, and the magnificence was. Oh. Well it was and. Hugh took out a second pen from his pocket. I got you a gift, of course. And they go together. Oh. This one's is a different color. I see. I like it. Metallic. Would be good for some drawing, you know. If we can get our hands on Miranda's notebook. You know the one I mean. He did. What did she call it? Spatial case book she did. We should call her tomorrow. Or is she already on? Is that you? A gentle ping came from her watch. Yes, it's me and me, you know the footage is done. Developed and such for the film. You didn't tell her about. Did you? Of course not. Theaters took me up on the prints and the showings will be on and on about midnight. The EGS will be lit up and we'll be on time. That is to be seen, she grinned. Well, quite. It should have quite an effect. The one you're looking for, I hope. With the right audience. Was his responsive response, and they carried on a bit about it, and imagined for a bit what the new beginning would be like, and hoped they'd make it on time, and they joked some more about that. Well. And just at that moment, an asteroid came about the horizon and blitzed them all around, as the ocean burst up into a wash and stuck to the bubble they were now pausing and positively amazed and amazingly. It just stood there, and the matter passed through them, and it was as if they'd seen a million years of star experience in that instance, and they were now quite definitely above ground, as the crater was now beneath them and water began to flow into it, and yet they hovered. Oh, side effect, said Q. And he stepped up a bit. And Arya smiled. And they began walking on the water pinholes, and they were prickly but easy to balance on. And the mist was still around. And as they walked onto it and walked up, the sky opened up and it began to rain, each time dropping pins around them, and each time they walk up and up and up. And completely stable, and in the rain they walked up towards a cloud and it began to murble, an electrical murble, and they paused and thought about it. And it thought about them. And they could hear a slight whisper. And they hadn't heard that kind of voice before. And it was the water. And the water was just gently carrying on a conversation with itself, about its direction and about the presence of presence to be delivered on so and so, and it was in plain language, as they now heard it at its pause, and the light continued to swim around like water, and the water, inside still spun a bit to orient, and they looked closer, and closer at the individual droplets of water on their bite little egg. And Q brought up Arya's hand where she held the pen, and clicked the light onto the water. And tiny people. Gasped Arya, like a bit of a shock she might have gotten from that pen or something. And yes. Dozens of highly recognizable people were chattering away, and away they were, miles and miles in fact. And that's the direction they faced. Towards themselves, if they needed the water, and away and about in fact if they were chattering with other water warble bits about their bits and just what to do with themselves. And I'd Stanton Knight, you know. If the easterly is going to kick off, and that bit of muck on aisle 5 has got to get a clearing, and a salty one, they joked with each other. Some of the water just stood around and seemed confused about the light. And they looked at Aria and Q standing there watching them. Oh, said one bit of water. So you found us out, eh? You're not going to tell anybody about us, are you? I mean, with this thing and all. We haven't seen this thing turned on in, well, a couple of years, and it was pretty fine back then. We'd love to stay and chatter about it, but our fellas have to get on with several light years worth of time and materials, which you lot think is just a freak asteroid and a simple storm, eh? I bet that's what you think. Like the cloud didn't see that thing years ago and we haven't been chattering about it up until this point. I mean, a notion's worth of, what do you keep calling it? Van der Waal. Oh, that's right. Well, it's us. Hello. The water droplet chirped at Q. Yes, I'm this bit of electron here, and that's my mate, and we're headed in that direction for the big one, you know. If we can swing it? Q clicked off the pen. He knew. Well, we'd better get to the show, and the show must go on, he stated to Aria, and they began walking a bit towards the theater. I'd like a bit more of that, she said to him, and they were grasping each other's hands now. I mean, you couldn't ask him a bit more about the weather, eh? Well, they've got their lot and we've got ours tonight. And I'm sure we'll all be all right if the lights don't go out? She shuddered. Oh yes. Well, the generator is handy, but we weren't planning for a long outage. We'd have to move the show if it goes out and long. But we'll see. Dot. They just hit the theater at 11. And front row Miranda was there with her notebook as Aria sat on one side and Q on the other, with some goobers for the show he'd picked up in the front. Dot. Lights dimmed except the beams coming from the rear towards the screen, and Miranda took out her notebook expectantly. She motioned the pen from Aria, who gave it to her, and she began to draw. Dot. The film was an art film. Well, the three knew it wasn't a film at all, but a continuous loop of 2.5 feet of cellulose with our little friends running around in the light, charting and orienting to the eyeballs on them in the audience. And the audience was amused. At very first by the geometric primitive shapes in 2D, then 3D, then color, and as the color was painted onto the 3D objects they began to spin and form more complex shapes, and color themselves, and the lines from the shapes would become evident, and the lines would change color, as gradients, and move into as other lines, also in 3D, and starting making real pictures that one could readily see as animals and people and plants and small critters. And then created was a backdrop which moved independently, although some of the material critters or EGS would switch between front and background as needed, and instantly adjust its coloring to match the presentation, which was the orientation of the rest of them, and us. The pictures began to tell a story about the audience, about how they had traveled there, their day, perhaps the day before, and what was on their mind. Quite the little mind readers, aren't they? He turned and smiled past Miranda and onto Aria as Miranda began to draw in her notebook. And the pictures were then very much about the present, about this moment, and in fact began to draw the audience as seated. And it was very much like a mirror, except the patterns were evident which thoughts were coming off which people in the audience, and Miranda was at the center. And more centrally centered, the pen, metallic, in which she continued to draw into the notebook. And the paper glimmered and she was drawing primitive shapes like triangles and circles, and the pen was a thick metallic and all sorts of language flowed inside the metal as a communication of what she was drawing, thinking, and the light coming off the screen and its messaging. The screen now began, as if again, stopping abruptly and showing a countdown as a film starting might do. And it was a bit now into the future. Kind of like Christmas past in fact, and began showing the storm outside and all the materials it had come to know about with contact with water, and explained in pictures what the water wanted and why they were water in the first place, and to expound on it would just make literal sense, because they were in this place and the people and events were so specific to those moments, and ever-changing, that it was simply understood, and if you were watching it, you altered it and understood it as it altered you, and so forth and all the time. And Miranda drew a square into her notebook and scribbled into it a little poem, and the metallic seemed to like the poem and hurried around it, and the light from the theater shone on it a bit more, until the lights went out, and the film stopped, and the place was completely out now, sans the final metallic glow on the paper as they rushed to orient onto the poem, and the dimness became static. Olness and soft peat. For wit to eat. Ponder stitch. Neat. Said Q. And Miranda and Aria just paused a bit. We've got the program. For now Miranda gave the pen to Aria and closed her notebook. These guys will stick tight, but we have a bit more for them to do at the next showing. What should we do until then? More of the same, I guess, guessed Q. Right, and tapped his cuffs again at the two women and they got up and walked with him, to his left and continued on, and Aria grappled at Miranda's rear and motioned them along. And as motion goes, it was a pretty good one, and they carried on and carried each other in light conversation as the tris met in a spatial hazy oil which they stepped into and around, and their rear-view mirrors were reveled in and beveled shades of hues and trickles of water popped in to say hello, and the sky's night was a deep blue and heady ideas of a continuation of their prior episodic adventure carried themselves into the night, and eventually into the padded bed they adored, and with each other took some bliss and a time and a half to say hello to all their bits from forward and behind, and in and about, and onwards and upwards, etc. And they smiled, and at a very early morning, or later evening, Miranda opened up her notebook from the bedside above, and opened to the poem, and the light from her eyes reflected onto the page, and the poem winked back at her, and carried on with the paper for a second glimmer at Aria and the Q, and inside the poem, became a fractal of text, at first mirroring the poem, and they simply spelling out a series of images and text, a language meant for her. It was her laundry list in fact, and she laughed. How did you know about my knickers? She laughed and slapped the notebook closed and wrapped it neatly with a red string and placed it by her side. Q looked up with one eye, then closed it and put his hand on her buttock. Aria curled inwards and spooned Miranda from the left. And Miranda continued to smile at the thoughts going through Aria's and Q's minds. Geneva is always good a second time and she clacked the lights out and turned and they just spent some time with each other's juicier bits for a time, and time again as they do, and imagined in positions their bodies as it pleased them and each other, and the leisure of pleasure carried them in their evenings, like tonight, and with hope every night. And the sparkier bits were sparked and the water bits washed over them, and it was time and again. They took pause, and drifted off to a warm sleep for the tryst of them to trust and read over the day on a new day like tomorrow was promising to be. Dot. The proceeding has been a mild delve into the adventuresome and others for the non-crudity of credulous credibilities in the ongoing saga of our friends and their living forms of grandulous grandurosity the EGS. And pendas in mightier and might be later for our pals. In a later episode. And forthwith is the side of knackers on a side trolley up the west side of highways and means for all who now and in the future, tense as in to say it backwards from the future, or in facts and fiction. Full stop. For the now, Aqua Q. Eddie like the drug's top bottle dropped sunside in a weathered balloon shot up to the side of an aisle like those who follow down a highway towards the skyline oasis of puddles to smacker at. It was that kind of day again. And by day I mean the middle as is the maths of night and this is that and another for the quiet ledger of vertical drops for a robot to read to you and another and auto the all-around roundness of velocity the velo kind of cheese that boxes cook for the dips to chit away at and the meter sticks into it and makes a spicy splashed up bit of ooze to enjoy. For what else is there? Leisure is our pronoun tonight, and we name it thus so as to utilize the measure of bars and beats and treasure to bury for later, as in the coin termed paper you neglected to write the evening before. Dewdrops ponders a muddy sandal toed continuation of a runner on sentences in a jail cellular conversation which a copywriter turned you onto, like a car keyed for digital entry in an age of golden ratio Fibonacci. The petal roses grows on you, tattoo lady. What was her name again? Came a quiet whisper across the room where needles drew and women showed their buttocks to other women to tantal for. If that were a word, and it may be just in those drawings, where did you get them from? They are from a notebook I've been meaning to keep yet keep losing, as in my mind. She flipped through the art book. Look, here's another. Do you think that would look good here? Your other buttock. Yes, and slightly to the left this time. See if I raise like this, and I'm on my side. You know, well, for the shoot, I lost another one. That's the third needle this week. I've got to buy myself another set, but I've been using this one since the 80s. You know, I draw on Mount Clair before her movie career. Remember, she was all up into it and said it would never end. It was her buttock too. Funny choice of wordings. She had me right up there. Up where? Asked the notebook woman. Oh, I see. She looked at the pictures Ava was showing her now. In any event, yes, she's beautiful, and I never saw the films. Stag, were they? Kind of dark lines there, don't you think? And what's that? Just that. It's just a star with an arrow through it. Clever if you're into a Cupid's way out of town, as she was. Well, she was my invention. She'd come in during the middle of the week and let me draw and pay me in tips from the movies, and we'd have a chat about what was next and next too, and sometimes we'd go in the backhand. Well, she was she and I was me, and it was good to see her from all sides. And so the woman lit up her cigarette and flipped through the book that was being handed to her, as Ava drew more on her right buttock and began to hum. It was a tune out of and slight, and they took their time away from each other and carried on in their minds. Mount Clair was flipping out, in the book in front of this young woman. Flip, flip. And flipping. She's flipping people off there. And flipping over there. And over there. And all over. What a spread. And what a book. She looked at the back cover. 9.99 for this one. That's not bad for the 80s. I should get a pair. Like this? Ava turned her head up. Like you want that here? She motioned at one of the images from the book and pinched her patron's ass just a bit, and winked. Oh sure. I'd like a bit of Mount Clair, and some more about how she was. If that's part of the bargain, it was. She looked at her arm a bit, following the curves which had been drawn by her own hand in Starfire times and squared as in the city where she fled in a summer not far from the swelter that tripped it from her profession, which was high finance, so to speak. And that comes with a smile, if you're interested, said the now positively gleaming young Ava, and she put her hand on the notebook and closed it. And closed doors, for an afternoon, the two enjoyed a bit of by Mount Clair, towards an in and around and about spiral and twists in the back and roomy sectional couched plotter which was the shop where pleases were aimed, like Cupid in the star. Dot. Oh, carry on with it, then, I'll take more of that any day. Evening. Here's my number. The paper read with A+, as in from Europe, or thereabouts, in the 31 range, if that was accurate, and it was, and she began window shopping herself, to understate an understanding. And she was eyed wide, with the rest of her. And shop she did. From the inside out. //. The cobble streets where shoemakers cobbled shoeries is our next road stop to a man who is also shopping. In the lives of facts and measures to dress as successor to a planet. Just up the road, and to the left, and left to his own devices was he, outside in the rain where anything could and usually did, on his watch, happen. He looked at his watch, watched, and watched he was. He was followed eastwardly and down a bit until he was noticed, and there was a bit of closure in and some cars began to pull around. And other men got out of cars and began to walk towards the man, all the while the man stopped, to gently see what was moving and in which direction, and to see who stopped and who was near. And the nearest to him pulled out a packet of papers, neatly tied as in a manila envelope, and tucked it under his arm. You'll want to come with me, Shall we take a walk? A bit of a pause, a slightly uneasy, our character looked and turned with the man to have a conversation, and they walked. You know, you left us up last winter. We have the pictures, you know. It was a crazy run finding you. You're not so easy to spot when you're not making waves like Geneva, are you? Did they all make it out? Asked the man. Yes, all but three, we have them. They're safe and within means and agreed to help us find you, if you can find them, came the reply. Oh, I see, and that was what they told me this morning as well. I declined. Of course you did, that's why we're. I mean, I'm here. Yes, the cars. Not so obvious that anybody would notice that down the corridor, eh? All shopping at Marks and Spencer again? I mean the budget reads like a show stocked by one and the only, what was her name again? Penelope. Yes, she runs the numbers and thought we'd all get new coats if we found you. Clever, look, this has enough pockets to line yours, and etc. Here. Take the envelope. I've got to get going and wanted to give you time to read and such. And the bridge is over there. I suggest you take a stroll and give it some thought. And if you don't jump over the side of that bridge, I'll take it as read that you're in and we can get on to business. Take it gently, Mr. Gent. Drab was his humor. Read to the collage of photos from the Spy X and tucked and bobbed away at the London fog he had worn himself. Page 11 is the one we want, and he walked away. Dot. Leafing through this dossier was like a seemingly of a party he was at just last year. All dead or alive, as per usual. He looked closely at one, ticked it out from between the pages, folded it into his pocket and tossed the rest over the side of that small bridge that was meant as a joke, but was perfect for recycling these matters, like water under a bridge, no less. He chortled gently and moved on forward and on to his next stop. With a telephone. Dot. The phone chimed dot dot for 12.5 minutes. The operator was listening. You could hear her breathing. All right in there, Mavis? Got enough toffees to last the conversation. This was her exchange and she knew the party he was trying to reach. She out, you know. Went down to the pub 1:30. You can still find her there. She just rung up Pete and they're all on their way about to their next stop, if you can catch her. Thanks, Mavis. You have saved my life on this one, and I'll send more toffees when I get out of the aisle. Click. Notebook under her arm. Man on the other, the young women walked out the pub and into a black cab. They rode into the city evening, with music from Bolero playing lightly on the stereophonic speaker dial-tuned radio program. And this is Radio 11, the driver turned down the volume. So it's West End again, eh? You client. All right. Is just up into that house, there. He pointed. And when you get it, you'll need this bottle of Dom and that's your entry into the back room. Get it. And get it. We have 25 minutes and you should finish, or he'll finish you, and me. And I'll be round to pick you up, on time. Right? Right, she got out with the bottle and walked up to the steps, stepped up and took her key out. She jiggled her bosom in the lock and fingers the bottle of champagne just gently enough to remind herself that this was her job of jobs tonight. And she looked good. She peeled up her dress and showed her garter to the driver, winked, and rode in on the bottle towards the rear of the flat, and her client's client. Dot. James sat up from the comfort of his suede couch and couched his cigar between his lip and breathed out. He took the bottle from the young woman, who he knew as Claudia. Would you like a glass? Oh, it's chilled. But you're hot. Here. He poured two glasses, clicked them himself, and handed her one, which she held up, to the artwork on the eastern wall. It's nice, she said, to the artwork reminiscent of Rampart. Or that other one. You know her accent was gently dumbed down for this one. She knew it was. And was. She stammered. Good one, she thought to herself. Yes, I forget myself with that one, which is why we're here, again, right? To forget ourselves and get ourselves, on, in fact. Or was there another matter you came about? I keep coming, back and forth, for you and the plug, you know the show? Got any interests this time I should know about? I mean last time was a surprise. And a good one. Yes, interest. High-heeled interest like the bankrolled Royces of Pottery Barn Yard. Animal cookies glistened softly in a chewy ooze of sauntering Saunder Muck Pie. Jubilee between cold winter sheets to the wind galloped velvet candied apple smatter. What? She learned that from Q. She bonked him on the head and smiled. She took some rope out of pocket, motioned, and tied him up a bit, to her pleasure, and then took out a pair of handcuffs and fixed his shoes to the chair. Picked up the remainder of the bottle of champagne, and poured it into his mouth as he smiled expectantly. The bottle was of course drugged, and his smile turned into a half-grin as he began to look as if he was having a stroke. He seemed all right, just couldn't get on with moving any, and she pulled a bottle of pills from her purse and left it by his chair. Just enough for now, I've got to get on with getting off from here now. Let me just take a few notes and I'll be off. She reached into his breast pocket and took his wallet, with some loose notes which seemed fresh and currenty. And a small pouch with a diamond, of sorts. This is a bit more my speed. She eyed the lattice structure as it gleamed and pulsed a bit as she brought it close to some power in her purse. I won't be back again. But the gents will to finish up. Best of luck with them. They're light staffed tonight. Shouldn't hurt your feeling too badly. She picked up her dress, snapped her garter at him and clicked the door closed behind her as the car pulled around and she hopped into the back seat this time, with a very sort of a man she'd been looking for all evening. The map opened up between them as peaks and valleys in the legend too, golden and blissed right up for a tremor of a ride downtown, and around the bend, bent up slightly and to the left. Driven home, for the nowity of sake, and shaken gently, as in gentlemen. And jacked slightly without a boozy yonder, but plucked and swirled, until they were fast asleep, and the sun horizon hit the other side of the planet again, for this another day in the continuation of continuity. The preceding episodic climatoidal fries motastical trollop portion of OES had been whizzed up the middle ground of wired magnetics for the very purposes of proposed time-space displacement and should be willed and rendered thusly on your papers and screened lightly. Photoshopped is for Windows and the Mac truck stop great and grated for cheese on and a finish for your evening as well. This is Aku Q and we bid a fair and well, from this Radio 11 C3W.
Hello, this is Serena, the other voice of our very special Mutiny Radio featured hour, Radio 11, with Aku Q, broadcasting Mondays at 5 p.m. Pacific, as in the pacified pacifier of the suck and unsuck for your listening leisure, and we're also here to say that the mutt is all of us needs Mutiny Radio entertainment, and thus in this we are, so please consider a donation. We are Mutiny Radio on Venmo, and if you want to be extra special, write in Radio 11 in the ledger to let our director know what's special these mid-afternoons, and now straighten up, and listen sideways away and means to lean forwards to the tune of MutinyRadio.fm. Today on Radio 11 we heard the blockchains of love and concurrency, our characters paged, and heavy headstop featuring Miranda from the Trist. It's near 6 o'clock and you can find us on aquaqlabs.com and as well Twitter and Facebook. Do enjoy your dew and sunshine this fine Monday and day and night for the now and again.
Radio 11, this is AquaQ.
Are you tired of swimming through a sea of podcasts? Are ye on a raft without a paddle? Well, gather around me, sea dogs, and get aboard me pirate ship as we set sail for the seas of MutinyRadio.fm. From there, you can captain your own pirate ship as you sail through over 44 different shows for all of your listening pleasures. They've got live comedy to small business advice, LGBTQ-friendly to sports, vinyl to gutter punk. MutinyRadio.fm has the best programming the internet ocean has to offer ya. I bet my peg leg on it, or I ain't Scurvy Shitface McRat.
Got the Mutiny Radio, got the Mutiny Radio, got the Mutiny Radio, my friend. Got got Mutiny, Mutiny Radio. Got Mutiny, Mutiny Radio. Got Mutiny Radio, my friend.
Billy Bob, you ever want to be funny?
Well, my dogs think I'm funny, Daryl.
Well, I mean, you ever want to be, like, in front of an audience? Like, other than, like, squirrels, dogs, and dead persons?
Oh, shoot. From time to time, I've given it a thought or two.
You know, if you go to Joke Workshop, there's more than two peoples paying attention to your jokes, and they ain't even gonna be jerks about it.
Daryl, are you serious? I can get people to listen to my jokes?
And they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dag nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I could tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius. Yahoo!
499.
Let's watch full-length movie on YouTube with Michael Spiegelman.
I'm Michael Spiegelman.
And I am Carl, not Spiegelman.
We're hosts of
YouTube with Michael Spiegelman.
Follow us on podcast by with our acronym LWAFLMOYT. We watch a full-length movie on YouTube with you, and you listen to the podcast and watch the movie at the same time.
Yeah. LWAFLMOYT.
LWAFLMOYT. That's every Sunday, 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or if you're Carl, 5%. 5%
Eastern Standard Time. So lazy. 3 hours later, I finally get to the show, 5 p.m.
Let's hear the theme song.
Let's watch full length movie.
Oh, wait, let's do a full minute promo. Oh, never mind. Bye. See ya. See you next month.
I was just leaving the theater.
Cadillac convertible 1969 gold Cadillac with the white interior. I drove it up here.
And I started to do some thinking.
Around in it on the freeway, and I'm having a really, really good time.
Flat black glass.
Smoking big spliffs and cruising
Saturday
in
Cadillac 92.
On the freeway. Good feeling.
I am a total friend.
Can I see?
Laurie Sterling's voice is absolutely right. I am petty, rebellious, and adolescent. And I will cut the
Hello, Blake. Henry. Yeah. Charlie here. Yeah. I have a report here, Henry, from your chief nurse, Major O'Houlihan. She makes some accusations, Henry. I find pretty hard to believe.
The dude minds, man.
Safe sex is more than just avoiding STIs and pregnancy, no matter what you're into. Make sure that you and those around you feel safe, comfortable, and are having a good time. This public service announcement is brought to you by your friends at Mutiny Radio.
Hey everybody, listen to the Weekly Review with Roman every Friday from noon to 2 p.m. This is an unapologetically anti-capitalist program. We interview community organizers, activists, and artists. We talk about ways you can take action right now. So listen in to the Weekly Review every Friday from noon to 2 p.m.
Thank you. That's
That song is called Acid and Fapping.
My name is Breakfast, and I'm running for Chancellor of the United States of America. For too long, we have gone without a chancellor who is willing to take bold leaps of faith and logic to create new possibilities.
Just for once, find it all right for kicks. But now you find out that it's a habit that sticks on your orgasm addict. Your orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door.